Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
Indeed, he says, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Let's go back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Does this mean that God has rejected the Jewish people? It does not in any stretch of the imagination. What's the ultimate end for a Jewish person who rejects Messiah? Lake of fire. What about a Gentile person who rejects Messiah? Lake of fire. There's no difference. But in Romans 2, verses 25 to 29, the Apostle Paul is trying to explain to his Jewish brethren that being born a Jew is not what gets us to heaven. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. Circumcision is a promise that we will keep the law. So to promise you keep the law and not keep the law is worth nothing. But he says, if you keep the law, the Torah, then it is profitable. He says, but if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, the Torah, this is Gentiles he's talking about, will not his circumcision be counted as circumcision, that is circumcision of the heart? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code in circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who's one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, meaning the one that counts to God is circumcision of the heart. Do it. Don't promise it. But he who is a Jew, who's one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Some people read this and say Gentiles, when they come to faith, become Jews, and Jews who don't have faith become Gentiles. That's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, if you truly are a worshiper of the true and living God, not only will you follow the Torah, but you will have faith in God. You'll believe in Messiah. You'll accept his death, burial, and resurrection. And you will truly, truly worship God. Back to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere. That means not to give in to persecution and calls for you to reject Messiah and reject your faith. He says, I also will keep you from. That Greek word is ek, E-K, just a little word, ek, but it means out of, not through. I will keep you from the hour of trial. The hour of trial is the tribulation period, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell in the earth. So the promise is for those who are overcomers, who persevere, who will not give in to Satan, who will not turn away from God, who will not reject Messiah, who will not turn from God's ways, he will not put us through the tribulation period. Rather, it says, I will keep you ek, out of the hour of trial. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. You guys all know Matthew 24 is Messiah speaking, teaching great things. When it says the hour of trial, look at Matthew 24. The key verse is 36, but I can't miss 35. for context. Matthew 24, verses 35 and 36. Let me give you a chance to find it. Heaven and earth will pass away. That's at the end of the millennial kingdom. He says, but my words will by no means pass away. So whenever you hear a big time preacher get up on TV and say, God's commandments have been done away with, either Messiah is a liar or the speaker is, one or the other. But of that day and hour, that day, we know what that is. That day is the day of the Lord. What does he mean by the hour? That's the tribulation period. That's the 7 years. The day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So what did it say in Revelation 3:10? I will keep you from, out of, the hour of trial. That's the 7 year tribulation period. Which shall come upon the what? The whole world. To test those who dwell on the earth. What's the word test mean? To see what they're truly made of. Will they keep the commandments of God and their faith in him, or won't they? How does the book of Revelation characterize the saints in the tribulation period? Right, so let's look at Revelation 14:12, which says just that. Revelation 14:12, because I'm sure people online are going, what did he say? Here's what he said. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. That's what he means in verse 10 of Revelation 3, my command to persevere. Here's the patience of the saints. Here's their perseverance. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Salvation's by faith. And then if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. So back to Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. How can he keep them from the hour of trial? They have to be raptured out of the earth. Like Messiah keeps referring back to, like the days of Noah. Noah and his family, the only righteous in the earth, are taken into the ark and the door is closed. And then for 7 days, the earth waits for the end to come. And then at the end of 7 days, that's when the floods come and all those that are not in the ark perish.
Wayne?
Yes, go ahead.
I was just kind of also looking at the Greek and where it says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Mine explains the word to try is to test. It also says to assay, like we were talking about gold being put through the fire.
Right.
You're assaying it. You're weighing it. You know whether it's good or not good. I just thought that was an interesting point there that it shows.
It is an interesting point that they use the word assay, which has to do with refining metals. Go back to Zechariah. Zechariah uses the same approach when talking about the 7 year tribulation period. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, that is, through the 7 year tribulation period of judgment. Refine them as silver is refined. Silver is refined by putting them through the fire 7 times, which tells us that the tribulation period will be 7 years long. And test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. That's the fulfillment of Romans chapter 11, verse 26. Let's look at Romans 11:26. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. What's that mean, as it is written? Meaning as it was prophesied years ago. Goes on to say, the deliverer. Who's the deliverer? That's Messiah, Yeshua. We'll come out of Zion. What's Zion? That's prophetic Jerusalem. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That is no more sin. Sins have been dealt with. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. What covenant does that refer to? That's the new covenant. Go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. I should have more patience with people. But again this week, I heard a very well-known televangelist teach on the tribulation period and the time coming. He said when a rapture and a resurrection comes, all the saved Gentiles are taken up because the Jews have to stay here, whether they're saved or not, to go through the tribulation period so God can punish them. Nonsense. Let's read. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Who's the they? It's Israel. Okay, back to Revelation.
You know, it's so illogical, that thought.
It is. It's so illogical. Ridiculous. Yeah. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 26? I'm going when the trumpet blows. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. Let's go look.
That's just another form of anti-Semitism.
It's just another form of anti-Semitism. And it's why so many people in the Messianic community object to the concept of the rapture, because they've been taught that the rapture is just a way to get the good Gentiles out of here so God can punish the bad old Jews. And they say, Gentiles don't deserve to avoid God's wrath any more than anybody else, and that is exactly true. Isaiah 26. No, don't go there. We'll do that at a few verses later, so I don't want to spoil the story. Back to Revelation 3. Anti-Semitism kind of grits my teeth, can you tell? Okay. Verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. I actually saw this verse somewhere this week that said, I am coming soon. It doesn't say soon. It says quickly. Meaning when the events of the tribulation period begin, they happen rapidly. So you want to be prepared before the trumpet blows and not sit around and go, well, I can get saved later. Because later it's not going to be so easy. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. What's that mean, hold fast what you have? That's kind of old language. Don't give up. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't lose your grip on it. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Referring to the five potential crowns that we may receive.
And where is that? The five crowns?
The five crowns. Just a second. I was actually going to make a note of that and didn't. So, give me just a moment here. Crown. Oh. Somebody just whistle for a minute.
There's five different verses, Wayne.
Yeah, there are five different verses.
James 1:12 is the crown of life.
Okay, let's look at James 1:12.
She's a little quicker than I am. James 1:12. James is after Hebrews. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation," which means doesn't give in to it. "For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." If you love him, you'll do what? Keep his commandments. So this is when the tempter brings temptation and you refuse it and say, "No, I will worship God and him alone. I will follow him and no one else." Then there's a promise of a crown of life. The next one, Karen?
Crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4.
Crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4. That's the very next book. Not that you guys don't know that already, but let's start in verse 2 to see who that one is designed for. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer." So this is the one for pastors who lead the congregations properly. "Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain." Oh, I'm not supposed to have a $54 million airplane? "Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Not being lords over these entrusted to you means I'm no better than you are. Somebody's got to sit up front and lead, and that's all it is. Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." That's really the same as what we read back in Daniel chapter 12. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. You don't have to lead a congregation to be a shepherd to others. And that's why I want to look at Daniel 12, because it's a little broader. Daniel 12, 3. Daniel 12, 3. I still hear pages turning. Daniel 12, 3. "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." What is the opposite of righteousness? Lawlessness. So should we be out there preaching that the law has been abolished, go sin all you want, God enjoys it now? No. People like that message better. But that doesn't make it right. Third one, Karen.
Crown of rejoicing.
Crown of rejoicing.
1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20.
1 Thessalonians 2. All the T's are together in the New Testament. First Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20. "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah at his coming?" In other words, when the trumpet blows and we're gathered together, and you see all the people you had a hand in leading to Messiah, that's going to cause you to rejoice. Fourth one, Karen.
The crown of righteousness.
I like that one. Crown of righteousness.
2 Timothy 4:6-8.
2 Timothy 4:6-8. Again, the T's are all together, so just go past 2 Timothy. You said 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 8?
2
Timothy.
2
Timothy 4, 6 to 8. I got the 6 to 8 part. Oh, the Apostle Paul is getting ready to die. And he's ready. He's so tired. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. What's he mean? I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Who's been trying to turn him away from the faith? Oh, they beat him. They stoned him. Yeah, they did everything they could to keep him from finishing the race. And he said, no, I finished it. It says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? The day of the Lord. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. How many of you look forward to the Lord's coming, the trumpet blowing? There's a crown for you, this crown of righteousness. The fifth and last one, Karen.
The crown imperishable.
Crown imperishable.
1 Corinthians 9:25.
Notice it follows verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Meaning what? If 100 people line up to start the marathon, how many win? Just one. Everybody gets a participation trophy today because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Why does he say, but one receives the prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it? He's saying that the way to the lake of fire is very wide, very broad, and many will find it. But the way to heaven is very narrow, and few there be who find it. Matthew chapter 7 is where Messiah taught that. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, meaning they're all trying to reach the end. They're all trying to be first. Nor do they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. That is those who run races on earth. But we for an imperishable crown. Meaning what? We're not trying to get a trophy. We're not trying to get a gold medallion to hang around the neck. We want the crown of Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Let's go to Revelation 1, 6. Referring to Messiah, it says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. An imperishable crown is one that will last forever and ever. So it's a way of saying we will be kings and priests with Messiah throughout his reign, which shall never end. Back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, that's back to 1 John 5:1-5. Every one of these letters seems to refer to he who overcomes. As John wants us to make sure we realize salvation's by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. The works are done because we love the Lord, not because we hope for a reward or a prize one day. What does the scripture say about the one who goes out and prays long prayers in public so that people can come pat him on the back and say how righteous you are? He has his reward. So what we do for the Lord, we should do selflessly, not expecting anything in return. He overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. What's it mean, a pillar? A pillar, something that supports, something that provides stability. Let's look at Revelation 19, verse 12. His eyes, referring to Messiah, you're not there yet, were like a flame of fire, fire being judgment. On his head were many crowns. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. What's that mean? One who will remain in the temple of the true and living God. No more to go astray, no more to go after idols, no more to revel in sin. Rather to serve God day and night without ceasing. It says, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. That's why we went to Revelation 19:12. Does that mean we're going to get tattooed? No, tattoos are forbidden. So what does it mean? I will write on him the name of my God, the name of my, the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, and my name. Name also connotes what? Character. Character. He will imbue us with his righteousness. There's something else to that pillar that is so neat. The pig, the yotaid, is put into what? Is put into a pillar. So the yotaid, Messiah, upon which everything is held, everything suspends, everything revolves around, is nailed into the pillar. So it's talking about we will share Messiah, who is the peg, the one upon which everything resides and upon which everything revolves, with a lost and dying world. In Revelation 1:6, it was not just king, but also priest. So we would get to share the message of God with those in the kingdom. And that's quite an honor. And then verse 13 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Where was the call to repentance? Where was the call to repentance? There is no call to repentance in this letter. This is the church that's being faithful, that's being upright. What does the scripture say? God always has a what? A remnant. This is the remnant who did not give in to the false teachers, who did not believe the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Jezebel, who said, we will stay strong and true. We will not give in. Wouldn't you like to be that congregation when the trumpet blows? That's what we want to be. Yes, ma'am. I'd say, look around the room.
Amen. Excuse me, Wayne?
Yeah, go ahead. Whichever one wants to go first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the pillars. Would that also go with, I don't know how to, Boaz and...
And Yachin. Yachin and Boaz are two of the pillars in the temple in Jerusalem. So it is like those, the pillars of strength that support everything, that provide stability and permanence. So yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The other question was?
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.